Hi everyone. In this podcast, we will have a look at the poem The Greatest Personal Privation by Tracy K. Smith. Before you continue with the podcast, it would be a good idea to read over the poem in your Poetry Speaks textbook. The first heading is Subject Matter. This poem is about the gross injustice of slavery and the slave trade and presents contrasting views of the Jones family, who were slave owners, with two of their slaves, Phoebe and Patience. The poem suggests that both parties, the slaves and slave owners, suffer in different ways. The next heading is Theme. The poem illustrates very clearly the physical and emotional pain experienced by slaves in America in the 1800s. Smith uses the technique of a found poem to give a voice to the slaves, a people whose voice has largely remained unheard in poetry. Her poem condemns the injustice and the inhumanity of slave ownership, which denied generations of slaves their rights to freedom in 19th century America. For many slaves, their lives were so stressful where they had trouble enough that they wished they could escape their torment and be sent home in peace with God. The next heading is quote 3. It is worth spending some time on this poem, thinking about it, asking questions about it, rereading it, sharing and discussing your opinions with others. Then, select any three lines from the poem that struck you as being memorable or interesting or striking and write them into your worksheet. The next heading is Imagery. The opening stanza immediately establishes the strain of daily life experienced by the slaves. It is a painful and harassing business belonging to her. The verb belonging reinforces the idea that the slaves have been purchased and are in the ownership of the Jones family, like any other commodity on their large estate. There are many references to God. In section 1, the speaker mentions being at peace with God in line 10, while in line 18, the speaker longs to escape her living hell and wishes to be sent home in peace with God. It is also interesting how slaves were labelled by their primary function. Rather than being given names, they are simply referred to in terms of their skills: good cook, washer, and seamstress. This functional branding reduces the person to their function, and for the slave owners, justifies how the slaves can be bought and sold like any other commodity on the estate. The next heading is Language. Some of the language is conventional and makes this poem very accessible, and we can easily imagine many of the feelings behind the words spoken in the poem. For example, we can sense the pain of the slaves who say, "I have had trouble enough," and the heartache that follows the sale of parent and child, in which families were broken up and sold to different slave owners. Other phrases in the poem are very formal, with words such as occasioned, and this vocabulary originally appeared in the slave owner's letters. But these words can also be imagined as being spoken by the voices of the slaves, in a way empowering them and positioning them as equals to their white owners. There is also a strong sense of dignity of the speaker in the poem. The slave, for example, in section 4, who considers that they may act, but instead will await any decision until the slaves learn more about the moral character of their slaves' owners, and also the graciousness of the slaves who feel sorry for their slave owners and who prays for them many, many, very many times. The next heading is Form. The Greatest Personal Privation is an example of what is called a found poem. This just means that the poem is based on factual texts that were written before the poem itself. The letters of the Joneses family, on which Smith has based her poem, reveal that the slave owners thought it acceptable to buy and sell slaves, as well as discuss them in their letters. Section 1 is composed of 4 tercets and a single line, while section 2 just has 5 lines. Section 3 is mainly composed of couplets, as is section 4. The closing section, much of which is in italics, is harrowing, as it captures the desperate pleas of the slaves not to be separated from their family members. But these pleas are ignored. The fragmented appearance of the lines on the page suggests how families were torn apart and sold to different slave owners. The next heading is sound. There are several examples of repetition in the poem. Words such as father, mother, God, evil, good, please, peace are just some examples. The repetition may suggest the continued injustice suffered by the slaves, while echoing the monotony of their lives and their feelings of entrapment. In line 9, the sibilance in the phrase subject to sale reflects how the slaves were viewed, not as people but as commodities, and suggests how easily families were separated and sold by their owners, who are deaf to their desperate pleas. The next heading is tone and mood. The poet is clearly angered by the injustice of slave ownership. The words of the slaves show them to be very aware that they are being abused and harassed. The poet is also struck by their dignity in praying for the very people who have enslaved them, thinking that they too must also be unhappy, knowing what they are doing is evil. With regard to mood, we feel sorry for the unfortunate slaves who insist that we cannot be all the cause of all that has been done. Their cry to be treated humanely and with justice goes unheard. Nonetheless, we admire them for their dignity in spite of their situation. The dialogue in section 4 is very moving, as we imagine the slaves pleading with their owners not to separate the family unit by selling them to different buyers. It is clear that the slaves are not listened to, having to repeat their desperate pleas over and over to their masters. The final heading is personal response. Do you think poems about slavery and the slave trade have a place on your English course? What can a poet hope to achieve, do you think, in writing a poem such as My Greatest Personal Privation? Did this poem inform you about the practice of slavery at all? Did it change your views on the topic? What was the most memorable about the poem, in your opinion? How did it make you feel hearing the voice of a slave?